You may be seated. We welcome you to this Thursday chapel service. We have come aside to hear from two of our fellow strugglers, fellow pilgrims. First of all, we'll hear from Lily Singh, an MDiv RE student in her second year from Taiwan, the Republic of China. All of you probably know Lily. She's a little different from us. She smiles more. She works and has worked with the Chinese mission in Raleigh. She has helped, as we know, with the Lai family here on campus. And she comes today to share with us her thoughts on the need for ministry with international students. Then we'll hear from Rebecca Barnes, a second-year MRE student from Savannah, Georgia, who after graduation will be married in May and recently had a dress made by the Vietnamese family for her, which is lovely. If you ask her, she might show it to you. She has started our program with internationals here at Southeastern, and we thank her for her many hours of work, especially her tutoring the Lai family in English. She has worked in an international work at Savannah Baptist Association and has worked with the international program at Forest Hills Baptist Church. And we hear our two ladies immediately following the choir's anthem.
Thank you. Dear friends, to begin with, I will quote Caroline Hoffman, "Bloom where you are planted." Here I am in a foreign land, on different soil, meets a strange people. Strange, chiefly because their culture and custom differ from mine. Strange, also because the faces that belong to the bodies walking around are unknown, unfamiliar to me. Where are the precious features of the dear ones I know so well and love so deeply? I'm close enough to those to know the heartbeat and sense the pulse of their very lives. It was so safe, warm, and comfortable back home in the nest. Back home, where I knew and was known, where I loved and was loved, where I ventured and felt safe in the trying, home seemed so far away. It's life then to be a continuous embarking, a wrenching away from the safe, the known into the very vulnerable cycle of the unknown and the incalculable, where we become stagnant if we choose to confine our outrage, our daring, our adventures, our risking to the safe, secure, controlled cycles of life. If we choose to remain in the eddies that we can adequately handle, safely navigate with only an occasional call to a God, a comfort, a savior, will we be quenching the spirit? I sure expect new buds and full blooms to appear on these tender, vulnerable shoots, but not because of any uniqueness of my plant, of any special quality of my soil, or of any rare obedience of my heart. I sure anticipate this new growth only because of my availability to God's unfathomable ability, only because of my allowing His rays to fall and penetrate the foliage. He has the love and the ability, the power to care for, to prune, and then miraculously to transform tired, alien, weird plants into vital instruments of glory for Him. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 29, the Lord say, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake." For the past year and a half at this seminary, I have to give thanks to my Lord. It is He who holds my hand and walks with me through the years. When I started last year, I had no idea what seminary would be like and had no theology background. But I came with faith that He was calling me here to learn. I was dealing with my language problem, and I had to adjust to my new environment and new culture. It hurt to feel only a superficial acceptance, but I was growing at the same time. I was searching for people that I could talk to, someone who had the patience to listen to me, and someone who had a sincere heart, try to understand me. However, I never succeeded. When I turned my eyes on my God, I realized that He was the only one who I could depend on all the time. With joy, I know I will never fail. I will never feel lonely again. Now, I thank the Lord for this experience and for what He has taught me through it. I know it has made me stronger and will help me in my ministry wherever my Lord sent me. Thank you.
ever since I was very, very small, and I was in Sunbeams, I think it's called Mission Friends now, one thing that was always said was, you can be a missionary. You don't have to go to another country, another city, another state. You can be one to the people right around where you live. Another thing I felt almost all of my life was a call to teach. Now, I thought this meant in the conventional classroom with the children, and my favorite subject was English. Well, in the last couple of years, I found out that's not at all what I was called to do. I was called to teach, yes, but not in a conventional classroom, but with my fellow brothers and sisters from other countries. This morning, I would like to give you a little of my testimony and why international ministries are important. Several years ago, when I was working on my master's in English in Savannah, I was looking for some part-time way of making a little money so that I could help pay my way through school. And a friend of mine from another country asked me if I would help a new friend of his who had just come into the United States to learn English so that he could pass his classes. This was actually the beginning, the seed, for international ministries in my life. A year later, my sister married a guy from Shanghai who was Buddhist. Now, he asked me to help him with his English, but he lived in Atlanta and I lived in Savannah, and that was a long way off, and the only way I could help him was through letters. But one night after he got off work from the Magic Mart, he walked down the street, he heard some music, and he went in, and it was a local Southern Baptist church in Atlanta. There he found that they had a ministry for people especially like him. He went in, he started going to the services, he started going to the fellowships, he started going to the language classes. And I'm happy to say now that he is a Christian. I think that church played a very important role in helping him to know what a Christian was and becoming a Christian. Meanwhile, I felt the Lord talking to me, and I'd been working with children in my own church for the last 8 or 9 years, and I felt that this is where he wanted me to go. So I came to seminary, thinking I was going to learn how to minister and work with children. When I got here, I found out differently. Several weeks after I arrived, the Vietnamese family came, and I was asked if I would help them with their English. With the help of the Lord and some other people around, I helped them with their English. This is how I became involved with international ministries up here. Soon after that, I learned that the North Carolina State Convention does have particular churches in the area that does minister particularly to internationals. I began working with one of these on Wednesday nights. To get there, we always rode down Hillsborough Street, and I would notice the groups of internationals along the sides of the street. They would be waiting on buses, riding bikes to class, coming out of stores, carrying children on their backs, some in American dress, some in their native dress. And the words of Billy Hank's song, Lonely Voices, would come to me, and it would come alive in a different way from any way it ever had before. Lonely voices crying in the city, lonely voices sounding like a child. Broken English, not understood, no one taking time to understand or really listen. Strange accents. Lonely voices fill my dreams. Lonely voices haunt my memory. Lonely faces looking for the sunrise just to find another busy day. Lonely faces all around the city. Lost, trying to figure out what does it mean to buy tomatoes by the pound or detergent by the ounce. Trying to pass a written driving exam so they can get a license to get around. Trying to make sense out of the American banking system. Lonely people do I see. Lonely people haunt my memory. Lonely faces do I see, lonely voices calling out to me. And I prayed, show me, Lord, what can be done. In answer, he spoke to me through Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then from Deuteronomy 16:17, every man will give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given to you. These reminded me of a poster that I have, and it says across the top of it, we are all internationals. In the words of Leviticus 19:33, the Lord tells us, treat them as you would a fellow Israelite. There is an article by Minor Davidson which has some excellent quotes in a way that I could not put it, in a way that will remind us all of what it's like, just a little of what it's like to be an international. No matter how broad-minded and good-natured an international may be, he probably experiences a certain amount of cultural shock upon arrival in America. The big differences, such as language, are obvious, but many tiny differences between one's own country and life abroad. Taste and smell of food, value of time, what is socially proper, anxiety about separation from home and the familiar, and fear of the unknown are most acutely felt at the time of arrival in America. We Americans need to understand ourselves as culturally and provincially oriented and develop an international mentality to better understand and minister to the international. It is easy to assume naively that our own ways of living are the natural ones and would be taken for granted by anyone we met. We need to develop an attitude or perspective that will enable us to evaluate accurately without egocentric or ethnocentric bias the ambiguous events which we in the international inevitably face. As our acquaintance deepens into real friendship, we may even lose consciousness of the cultural differences and look only to our common humanity. Put yourself in their place. How would you feel now? Where can we find internationals? What can we do to help, or how? The answer to where is almost simple. There are migrants, refugees, immigrants, students, and there are even second-generation people living in language ghettos in the larger cities. It would be someplace like Chinatown. They are thought to be in large cities, but this is becoming less and less the norm. For instance, like Lewisburg, it has a large community of Vietnamese. It's just a small town. So almost anywhere you can find these people. Now, how or what can we do? We can get more involved. Yet, it's still not very hard to do this. First, remember in Deuteronomy 24, God gave us a specific instruction on how the foreigners should be treated. He says, "Do not mistreat the foreigners. Never forget you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I have given you this command." Now, a program can be an effort by an entire association or a church. It can be large or small, depending upon the needs. It gives beyond offering a place for a small group to meet or providing the people to teach them English. It means getting involved. It means finding out what they might need. Do they need housing, clothing? Do they need help finding jobs, help getting into school? It means going even further. However, let's get even closer to home. How can we help our sisters and brothers right here on this campus? We can do things like help them with class notes, set up bank accounts, become familiar with our social customs, get a phone or a car, or any other number of concrete ways. However, more importantly, we need to give them our time, our friendship, our love, try to understand them, accept them, support them. We all need to be included. Let us not leave out some of our brothers and sisters, but remember that God loves us all, and we are all his children, equal in his sight.
Let us pray. Father, your call has been to service. May the words that we've heard penetrate our hearts. And may we not pray, "Send them." But may we pray with Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Send us forth, Father. Send us forth to serve, to give away the love that you've given us, and to recognize those who need that love. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.